This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Jenothra Archer Cartwright, family medicine specialist, and brought to you, of course, tonight by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical healthcare needs. We're here tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9. We're here every Tuesday, and thank you for coming. We're going to have a live show tonight, so, you know, I've been crazy busy, but I'm back. I have an interesting show. We're going to be talking a little bit about achieving wellness and how do we get there, because that is the ultimate goal. But just a little bit back to our sponsor, Medical Concierge Services, Medical Healthcare Clinic, which I am a part of. We provide family medicine care, general health care for the public, and we're located in the Bahamas Heart Center. You can reach us at 326-1521. And we have a WhatsApp line, 432-4010. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram. On Instagram, it's going to be medical_concierge_services. And of course, our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com. One important notice that we do have is that we have expanded our NHI panels. So if you were being told that we didn't have any openings, we've opened up some more spaces. So if you want to come on and register for NHI, you can give any one of our numbers a call and just say you want to register for NHI, have your NIB number with you, and we can get you and your family all sorted out. So thank you for listening tonight. You know, we usually talk about health and how health is important, and usually we talk about the physical aspects of health. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about wellness, because I think wellness just brings another dimension to achieving one's best self. So we'll start a little bit with that, just this idea, and it's like a psychology thing, but many of you have heard about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and what this theory kind of looks at is that there are certain things that human beings require, and as you accomplish these things, then you're able to kind of move on to another level of optimization of your life. And so at the lower form of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the thing that you need on the basis, and it's shaped like a pyramid, so of course, the base is going to be larger, are your physiological needs. So like air and water and shelter and clothing and all the basic things that any human being would require to just kind of survive. And once you've kind of secured those things, then, you know, safety becomes a very important thing. So your personal safety, employment, resources, health and property. And as you can see, health is kind of on that second rung of things once you've secured some of those really basic needs. And then on the third rung, you've got love and belonging. And this is friendship, intimacy, family, sense of connection. Now, next becomes self-esteem. As you have accomplished those things, you can look more at your kind of like personally what you want. So everybody wants respect. You want to have a higher, build your self-esteem as you go up this pyramid. Status and recognition becomes more important. Strength and freedom are other parts of that block. And then finally, at the very top of the pyramid, we have a concept called self-actualization, which is just a desire to become the most that one can be. And, you know, as we struggle through each of these, and sometimes they overlap a little bit, but as we try to reach the pinnacle of all of that, all people struggle because it requires change, it requires inflection, it requires a lot of deep soul searching. And in a sense, it kind of brings together our whole idea of purpose as well. So when I think about wellness, I think of wellness as the self-actualization step of good health. And so when we look at the World Health Organization and most best basic definitions of health, we find that health is simply defined as an absence of infirmity or disease. So not having a disease and you're considered to be healthy. It's basically a state of mental and physical and social well-being. And so when we go beyond this, because sometimes we consider health and wellness to be an interchangeable word, but they really do have different meanings. So when we talk about wellness, and I found a really great article on hdfsurgo.com talking about everything wellness. And they define wellness as an act of obtaining and maintaining an optimum balance of the mind, body, and spirit. It is a conscious and self-directed and evolving process of achieving one's full potential. Wellness is positive, it's affirming, and it contributes to living a long and healthy life. It's multicultural and it's holistic, and it involves multiple dimensions. So it's a bit more complex than just not being without disease. And being without disease is really the first component of health. And then there are so much more. And so you'll find many different variations of what could be components of wellness. I think the most complete one I saw had 8 components. And of course, the physical component, which is the first component, is the one that we all kind of talk about normally, where our physical wellness is just taking care of yourself, enjoying your good health, and staying away from disease. Hence, physical wellness is about making healthy life choices consistently. These include consuming a healthy and balanced diet, engaging in physical activity, and keeping your body and weight in check, getting enough sleep, staying hydrated, and avoiding things like tobacco and alcohol, things that we talk about all the time. These small yet essential changes can go a long way in boosting your immunity, your energy levels, and of course, your overall well-being. And it's very important to have this physical wellness because it's essential to living a healthy and happy life. And you're less likely to fall sick and to suffer from serious illnesses or injuries. You're going to be physically fit and you're going to be healthy. And when you practice a healthy lifestyle habits to promote your physical wellness, you will also notice that you will have positive changes in your mental and emotional health, things that we're going to touch on. So the signs of good and physical health and wellness is that you sleep well at night, you wake up fresh in the morning, you feel strong and energetic, your heart and brain is functioning normally, your immunity is strong, your skin looks great and healthy, radiant in a sense, so good skin. You have a healthy weight. And in the cases of females, your menstrual cycles are regular. And this comes up quite often with me dealing with especially young women, your cycles being irregular or having some problems with that. And usually that's one of the first signs in women that something may be wrong. So, you know, we always kind of watch our cycles and what's going on. And when you have shifts in that, it can be hormonal, it could be a health problem, it could be lots of different things. So those are really the signs of health. And the benefits of having good physical health, it maintains your body over time. I believe in a concept called fragility, where you kind of you're banking up your health. So the things that you do now when you're older, you can kind of bounce back a lot easier. And that's a concept of fragility. It keeps you safe from infection, so less likely to have an infection. And we have seen through this last 3 years that having a very good immune system is extremely, extremely important to health. It promotes fitness levels, it stabilizes your emotion and your mood, it boosts a good mental health and sustains your energy, and keeps you active throughout the day and improves your brain function. Tips to improving your physical wellness are the things that we talk about a lot. So you want to keep moving, of course, exercise 30 to 45 minutes, moving, stretching the body, especially if you're working at desk. So we don't work as hard as our ancestors did. So we have to take time to do physical activity in order to compensate. And this prevents your muscles from getting fatigued. And just helps with your brain function and helps you do your work throughout the day and stabilizes your emotional wellness. So have a good workout routine. Make sure you do some strength training. You want to consume a healthy diet, fresh fruit, vegetables, beans, nuts, lean meats, and other healthy foods that are going to be good for you. And you want a high fiber diet as well with lots of complex carbohydrates. And you want to avoid those foods that are going to be high in salt and sugar. You want to maintain a healthy weight. And I know this has been a struggle, especially a lot of people slow down through COVID. So a lot of the work that I'm doing right now is even myself, getting myself back to where I was before my son that I recently had. And then and also using those tools to help others. So we are all on our journey to maintain our healthy weight, to maintain the weight that allows us to be most active and energetic. And this reduces your risk for heart disease and diabetes and a lot of different types of cancer. And we're seeing a lot of people that are passing away from cancer and heart disease and all of these things. And so just on this, I think I just take a moment of silence. A lot of that, you know, not to say very important people, but very people that are well known have passed away, and people that I know especially. So I just want to take a moment. I'll pause right here just to give condolences to their families. Mr. Alpheus Finlayson, who most of you will know, did the sports show that was in the same time slot. And Mr. Finlayson, actually very close. He was like a family friend. His family lived down the road from me. I would catch a ride with him sometimes to school. Me and his daughter went to the same school. And he was always a really nice, energetic guy. And he sold me my first policy when I came back home. And he said, you know, here, you know, you got to buy your policy for me. And I agreed. And so I've always been in close contact with him ever since. So, you know, I knew his wife, I knew his kids. So very, very daunting thing that that family lost both mother and father at the same time. So my heart goes out to them, and we pray for the family through this hard time. You know, two deaths in a very short period of time. And also Mr. Wilsham, you know, I don't know, those of you who have been following me, even when I had my restaurant, and Mr. Wilsham popped in there a few times, gave me really good advice. So he was a very, very nice man as well. And so very shocked about his passing. And so condolences to his family as well. And I hope they find peace, and I hope they find the answers that they need about what happened with him. And so I'm just going to take a quick moment of silence to remember those persons and all the other people that have lost their lives recently, and sudden deaths, cancers, all the things that's going on. Two young men have recently passed away. Teenagers, I think the young man was head boy of QC, as well as one on the family islands. So definitely we all realize how important life is, and how life can sometimes be extremely fleeting.
So
thank you all for having that moment of silence for all the people that we have lost recently. And so tonight, to kind of get back on topic, you know, that was a bit of a somber moment, but we are talking about wellness and how important it is for us to stay healthy. And beyond health, wellness is an optimization that we all need to try to achieve. And so we were talking about the physical aspect of health and wellness, and how that also takes care of your metabolism and helps you with the processing and converting food into energy. And in order to speed up your metabolism, you have to take care of your overall physical health. And you must also be mindful of your alcohol consumption, which for some people, they don't even realize that they're having too much alcohol, because alcohol can be a poison at high levels to your body. And so in order to prevent that, you know, you should either stay away completely or live a life of moderation. So physical wellness is about achieving and maintaining an excellent quality of life to make the most of every day without feeling physically stressed and tired. A physically fit person can live a healthy and happy life and be free from infection and other conditions for quite a long time. And wellness helps to boost both your mental and emotional wellness, and it's important to follow a healthy lifestyle to be physically and mentally fit. So that's the largest kind of spoke on the wheel, the one that we always talk about. And so I'll mention the other ones and then we'll tap into a few of them as we go along. So they talk about social wellness, which is building health and supportive relationships with people in our lives and enjoying being a part of that community. There is financial wellness, and people don't understand financial wellness is really a large part of wellness. And it's a part of even the things that I have to discuss with some of my patients, because financial stability or having the resources can change your management. Limited resources can make things very difficult. And sometimes we actually have to do financial planning in order for some people to manage their health in a particular way. And so I've become quite a financial guru in a sense, even incorporating that into our programs. So financial wellness, very important. How well a person manages their financial life and their ability to lead a successful financial life, very important. A lot of people have stress because of financial issues. We all know stress basically causes inflammation, and inflammation is the starter for most diseases. It is very impactful on your life, and it can affect your emotional, your physical, your social well-being. So financial wellness is extremely important. And I gave this some of this information recently at a talk that I did at an organization that I'm a part of. And so this is why I thought it was really important to also impart this to the listeners on the program tonight. Because this is a really big topic, and it kind of an all-encompassing of all aspects of health and wellness. And then we have intellectual wellness, which maintaining a good intellectual health by learning new skills and improving our creativity. And we're going to go in depth into each one of these, but I'm going to talk on them because I know sometimes we don't get through the entire topic. We've got occupational wellness, and that is achieving the right balance between your work and your leisure and fulfilling personal and professional life together. Of course, your emotional wellness, this is about the ability to handle your thoughts and your emotions without hurting other people. And I think sometimes this moves into things like emotional IQ that people have talked about before, and a lot of other things. And I think especially being someone who's kind of A-type and really focused, I really had to learn and develop emotional intelligence along the way, and being able to express yourself, straightforward, but keeping in mind people's emotions and the way that they may take certain things, you know, because sometimes I'm just like really academic with stuff, or really kind of blunt, and I've had to kind of learn that over the years. So that's really important. Spiritual wellness is finding your life purpose, meaning building good relationships with others and people around us. Also very, very important. Environmental, this is kind of a new one that's in there, but environmental wellness refers to your sense of safety, comfort, connection with your physical environment. And so we're going to talk about each one of those a little bit more. And then we're going to talk about how do we make the changes to actually achieve said wellness, right? How do we do those things? And that is super important. So I think the one that I really, we're going to go around the circle and talk about social wellness and how do we achieve that. So social wellness basically refers to building and maintaining positive and supportive relationships with the people around us. And the more we interact with people in some meaningful relationships, the better our social wellness really is. We are social beings. We are very social beings. And so, you know, we are our best selves when we are being social. Studies have shown that people with strong social connections have fewer health issues and more positive outlook on life. Hence, working on your social wellness can help promote or an overall sense of well-being. The importance of social wellness is having a positive social network increases our own self-confidence. It is vital for our mental and emotional health. It keeps away feelings of isolation. It encourages us to have self-care, and it helps us deal with stress and anxiety. So all very important things. What are those indicators for good social well-being? Well, the signs are that you have a balanced personal and social life. You're empathetic and giving in your relationships with others. You make effort to keep in touch with your family and your close friends. You can easily interact and build relationships with people in your community. You treat people from different social and ethnic backgrounds with respect. You are happy over the success of others. So, you know, you're not envious. You think about, you know, what other people need, and you kind of, you know, you're happy about that. You are confident of yourself in the presence of others. And what are the tips to social wellness? Well, making social connections, building strong connections is vital for your happiness. It's vital for your health. And that's outside of just like your regular family and friends, romantic partners and neighbors or colleagues. Look for ways to find new social connections, such as joining classes, volunteering in schools, hospitals, places, traveling to new places, and so much more. And you build healthy relationships. And this is very important for your physical and emotional wellness. And when you have at least a few supportive and understanding people in your life, you will start to feel secure, which can positively impact your overall well-being. So you can see how it's all connected. You need to communicate honestly. Be vocal about your thoughts and your needs, especially with your family and close friends. And this is an important part of connection, just being honest and having open communication. Be a good listener. Listen to the people that you love. Listen to your friends patiently without judgment. Understanding, caring, and empathetic and non-judgmental attitudes towards others can help you develop and maintain stronger and healthier relationships. Convey your thoughts in a respectful manner. So if you disagree with someone on a specific topic, you need to share your views without hurting them and avoid being overly critical about things and keep your temper in check. So, you know, these are things that sometimes we have to work on personally as people. And like I say, one of my challenges, you know, sometimes and when I was younger, it's just like being like a little overcritical and not understanding people's point of view all the time and having to eventually understand that people are coming from different perspectives, and it works out a lot better if I'm understanding, and I take it down a notch in order to convey my thoughts to others, because we have to be respectful. And sometimes you may not realize the way that you're coming across, but others might take it another way. And so being mindful of others and the way that they feel. Spending time with family, even if you have a busy schedule, you need to find that quality time to be with your family, have a meal together, go jogging, do an activity, shopping, playing games, or just sitting there and talking for a short amount of time. You know, these are going to be really important things to help you kind of connect with people. So plan outings with your friends, and this can help promote your emotional and social well-being. And so check in every now and again, you know, so if you had a friend that you haven't spoken to for a while, maybe check in with them. That may be the thing that helps them, and that also will help you and improve your relationship. So you should always reflect on the relationships that you have, and you determine what you need to do to make them improve and what relationships are really important to you. And try to sort out any kind of misunderstanding or communication issues that you might have had, because social wellness is definitely essential to living a healthy and happy and more fulfilling life. And if you're looking for ways to improve your social well-being and start spending more time with your family and friends, nurture your relationships, but be vocal about your feelings and have an understanding and supportive attitude to others. If you want to strengthen your healthy relationships, try to make, other than strengthening your already healthy relationships, you can go out, make new friends, expand your social network, and promote social wellness. So very important. This other one is pretty big for me as well. So I'm really going to hit the ones that I think are super important first and go on from then. But before, I'm just going to kind of open the phone lines if you want to jump in about your own wellness journey, what wellness means to you, and if any of these things are things you think you need to work on or are important to you, or have you achieved this already? Have you achieved wellness in all of these areas of your life? So I'm just going to give out the phone lines because I tend to forget about them. So we're in Guardian Radio, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259. And I'll just give them out one more time. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And we are live on the Doctor's Inn on Facebook. So you can check us out there if you want to see us live on Facebook. Okay, so yes, I will take your calls and your comments. I'll just open that up pretty early because sometimes I do open it up quite late and some people kind of chastise me sometimes for that. So we're going to talk, wait to see if anybody calls in, but financial wellness, this one also to me, very important, close to my heart. I have always strived for financial wellness. Some people may call me frugal, but I really believe in, you know, financial wellness, living below your means, and doing things in a fiscally financial, you know, really good way. I do my best. I'm not a financial analyst or anything like that, but I think in terms of people who have a good understanding of financial stuff, I'm pretty good. I just... learning to take a few more risks because I am a little bit on the frugal side. I don't like to take a lot of risks with stuff like that. But, you know, I'm pretty conservative when it comes to that stuff. So what is financial wellness? Well, financial wellness is the ability to live a healthy financial life and plan for the future. It involves managing your income, your expenses, saving, looking at your debt and investments wisely and responsibly. Financial wellness can reduce stress, improve your physical and mental health, and enhance your overall quality of life. So it is really important aspect. Many factors such as income level, job security, healthcare costs, personal goals, all affect your financial wellness. And you can improve your financial wellness by creating a budget for basic expenses, investing for your retirement, and paying off debts, if any. And so I think it's really important when you a thing to incorporate in your wellness or your health journey, because resources play so much, and we know the cost of everything is going skyrocketingly high. And usually what you're making isn't going up as fast as inflation. And so really have to take a detailed look at your finances and figure out what your future is going to look like. And you may have to make some changes. So what are some good indicators of good financial wellness? If you've created a budget and you've developed a plan for handling financial resources, if you keep expenses in a checking account, if you gain an understanding of debt and how to manage such debt, if you attempt at restoring credit. So, you know, I think a lot of people live on credit a lot of times. And to me, I would only use a credit card if I have the money already. So I really prefer debit cards. But how the world is going, you need credit cards sometimes a lot for security issues and stuff like that when you're traveling, all that kind of stuff. But other than that, no credit cards. All right? And pay them off. Pay them off right away. Setting up long-term financial plans like a retirement fund, investment portfolio, opening and maintaining a healthy savings account, and feeling emotionally balanced about money. Having an emergency fund in place for unforeseen circumstances, so important, because especially if you have a health problem, if you have insurance, that's great, but sometimes people need to have that emergency cash for things that might just come up. So financial health is extremely, extremely important. Okay. How do we improve our financial health, our financial wellness? I too am using the words quite interchangeably. But we discussed earlier that wellness is really like an optimized, self-actualized version of health. So you have to create and stick to a spending plan or budget, establish and stick to that budget. It takes significant steps towards monetary security, making a strategy for how you will spend your money, and you just have to kind of stick with it. So it requires a lot of discipline. Like everything in life that is like good to achieve, you usually have to have a lot of discipline. So you have to maintain a steady savings rate and a contingency reserve for unexpected expenses. Saving up money to cover your bills for at least a few months, and it's wise to set aside money every month for the use in case you have an emergency. You need to pay off debts as much as possible. Paying off debts will help you plan better for the future, because, you know, when you have lots of debt hanging over you, it's really hard. Keep tabs on when your bills are due. Keep a check and always, you know, be ready to pay. So always try to get rid of your bills and pay those on time and do what you have to do. Review your credit. For the Americans, they have to review the credit report annually. And I know they were trying to do a credit system here, but I don't know how well it would work, especially with the way that our banking system is set up. And then, of course, set aside money for retirement. So the recommendation is 10 to 15% of your salary towards retirement. The earlier you begin, the better, because it helps you to plan. I started a little late with this retirement thing, so I'm trying to catch up. So that's one of my downfalls and one of the things that I'm kind of working on, because working contractually for the government, they don't provide a pension. And when you're young, you don't really think about these things. But now that I'm a bit older and I've got kids, I retirement and stuff. So I'm doing it for myself outside of that. And working for myself as well, I think it's just made me more cognizant that it's super important for me to have a retirement fund. And so that was a really big focus for me at the end of last year. I usually try to have really like major goals for each year. And that was one of the things that I really wanted to get on top of. And then I needed to find a way of actually catching up with the years that I would have missed. So hopefully, you know, I'll be on top of that. So in conclusion, the article summed up having a financial security would help promote this concept of wellness on all levels, mental, physical, and emotional. So to improve your financial situation, other aspects of your life, all you have to do is establish some objectives for yourself and this would help you with your financial goals. Okay, the next one on our list is basically our category of wellness called intellectual. And then after this, we'll take a quick break. But what is intellectual wellness and how do we achieve that? So intellectual wellness is wellness of the mind, is defined as having good cognitive health and being open to new ideas. An intellectually healthy person recognizes his creative abilities, thinks critically, and is seen, is keen to expand your skills and your knowledge and to be mindful, engaging in brain-stimulating activities, just reading and learning, and boosting your knowledge to grow, you know, that type of potential. And I think really this is why I say wellness is part of that self-actualization phase, because I think in order to be in that place, you have to be stable in a lot of other areas of your life. Because if you're just surviving, if you are just making it through, it's going to be hard to focus on these types of things. And so person with good intellectual wellness always finds a way to be creative and keep abreast of current affairs. Hence, intellectual wellness encourages learning, increased curiosity, creativity, and helps you to live a happy and balanced life. The importance of intellectual wellness, according to the article, is to promote your intellectual health and mindfulness. And the reasons why this is extremely important is because it boosts your cognitive health. It helps you to think with clarity. It enhances your memory and attentiveness, and it makes life more interesting. It also helps you to develop important personal values, and it boosts your confidence. So what are the signs that you are, that you have good intellectual health? Well, if you enjoy reading and keeping up with current events, you don't hesitate to exposing yourself to new ideas and beliefs. You're comfortable meeting new people. You do not feel uncomfortable about changes in your routine. You are a critical thinker. And I think this one is so important. We always need more critical thinkers. And as a group, as a people, critical thinking needs to be there. But we chastise the fact that it doesn't seem like there are a lot of critical thinkers in our society. But I think what we realize if we looked and we go back to Maslow's hierarchy is to hit these self-actualized experiences, we need people to have fulfilled all their lower needs and functions. And so bringing our entire community up to a level where they can achieve those basic needs, we will automatically have people who can invest and in these types of things and intellectual health and wellness. So you look for ways to use your creativity, you evaluate an issue from different angles, you are learning new skills for personal growth, and you search for brain-stimulating activities to promote your mental health. And how do we improve that? If we realize, hey, we're not doing all of these things, you know, maybe my intellectual health, my growth capacity could be better. You want to start developing really good habits that will improve your intellectual wellness. Things like developing a reading habit, reading about current affairs and other topics, health, lifestyle. Reading helps you to learn continuously and it improves your brain health and activity. You want to pick up hobbies that can be fun and that may help you or improve your skills along the way. Having more than one hobby also boosts your function and promotes intellectual wellness. Traveling to new places, if you have the opportunity, traveling to new places puts you in new situations and then can promote your problem-solving skills and helps broaden your mind and boost your intellectual wellness. I do love traveling and I really think it opens your mind because you get to see things from such different cultural and environmental perspectives. I think like traveling through Europe and some of that old world really makes you think about your history and your past and all the things related. You know, going to China, looking at a completely different culture, doing these things. You know, I haven't hit any countries in Africa yet, but I intend to probably next year really kind of explore that continent and maybe the Middle East. I've been to South America, America. So I think Africa, and, you know, I haven't been to India either. But, you know, bucket list things, because I think they really expand your mind. I think going to China really expanded my mind on just the way that they approach kind of sculpting culture and sculpting what they want to see in their environment and planning out long-term for the future. It just starts to blow your mind. It's the way that they do things in that way is so different. Not everything I would take from them, but there are some really interesting concepts. And as China moves into kind of this new phase of understanding and appreciating the environment, the way that they're going about it is extraordinary. Their green spaces, the things that they're doing. So very, very interesting. And they are very kind of detailed and functional in the way they do things, which was interesting for me. So learning continuously. As a doctor, we're always learning. But as a doctor also, I try to make sure that I'm learning outside the scope of those things as well, because, you know, new languages, crafts, music, any of those things, you know, you can attend lectures, conferences, all of these things just kind of help you to expand intellectually. Playing games, so certain games can do that, chess, Scrabble, Sudoku, those types of things, if you're into that. Of course, getting a good night's sleep, always good for your mental health and your brain health. 7 to 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours of sleep is what you need. To help you relax and to repair your mind and your body and improve your mental clarity. It also reduces stress, mood swings, and health issues. So sleep is extremely important. Make changes to your routine. So if you make changes to your routine, your brain works harder to process new information and to find solution. This is a really interesting one, because I find that some people feel, hey, I have to be in this routine all the time. But does that kind of slow down your thinking because you're expecting the same thing all the time? So simple changes like taking a new route from home, using a different mode of transportation, dining in a new restaurant, doing anything by stepping out of your comfort zone can help improve your brain's plasticity and promote cognitive performance. Stay curious. Being curious increases your knowledge and your brain activity. And you can learn about things that interest you and expand your knowledge continuously. So for instance, if you are curious about how a car works, watch a video. The great thing about being in this online world now is that everything is pretty much there, right? Consume a healthy diet, of course. This is going to nourish your body, your brain, and you want to make it a point to always have nutritious food, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, flavonoids, omega fatty oils, and other nutrients, which I always push a more balanced diet. So meditating, I would like to put in there as well, prayer, practicing some form of meditation for a few minutes every day can transform your mental and physical health. Meditation relaxes the mind and helps it to function better, therefore promoting intellectual wellness. So in conclusion, the article found that intellectual wellness basically means being mindful of your cognitive health and engaging in lifelong learning. Learning new skills, engaging in brain-stimulating activities, and keeping your brain active, promoting memory, attentiveness, clarity, intellectual awareness, makes you more flexible and receptive to new ideas, beliefs, and boost your confidence, and helps you to live a more interesting and healthy life. We said we were going to take a break, but I'm actually not going to go there. So if you have a question, if you want to join in with us, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Give us a call. It's quiet tonight. So we might as well try to finish all of them as best as possible in the last few minutes. So you've got occupational wellness, which is about your work-life balance and doing well both professionally and personally. We'll do these ones a little bit faster because I want to get to the changes. So the importance of that is really a good work-life balance helps you motivated to perform well at work and achieve good financial rewards. So they're all interwoven, helps you to promote your overall health and happiness, and helps you to maintain healthy relationships with your coworkers and loved ones. Signs of good occupational health is you're happy with your career choices. Your job gives you a sense of satisfaction and happiness. You can balance your work and leisure time really well. You enjoy doing your job and you're grateful for it. A lot of people struggle with that, you know. That's why I made a personal change and I'm just in private practice now. You're always keen to learn new things and to accomplish your goals at work. You have a great rapport with your coworkers. You can work independently really, really well. You communicate and collaborate with others easily. You feel motivated and you give the best to your job and your family, and you can manage your workload without feeling stress. So to get this really down packed, you need to keep working towards your goals, be grateful for your work, choose your job wisely, build rapport with your coworkers, learn time management, get some good rest, and take good care of your body. Okay? And we're going to go quickly talk about emotional wellness. And this is your well-being or your emotional well-being or emotional health is the awareness of understanding and accepting our emotions and our feelings. So getting in touch with ourselves. How we feel from within can impact almost every aspect of our life. Hence, emotional wellness is not limited to our mental health only. It is also tied to our physical well-being. And you've heard time and time again that sometimes your mental health can manifest in a physical manner. So it helps us to control our thoughts, feelings, and behavior. It helps us to identify and control our emotions and understand them. It helps us to understand, to be more understanding and empathetic to others, to express our feelings, and promotes our overall health. Signs that we have good emotional health include being aware of our emotions, handling our emotions and experiences in a mature way, not shunning our emotions, so expressing yourself, managing stress and living in the moment, being understanding and empathetic towards others, taking, being shy, not shying away from asking for help. That's a big one. And one that I always encourage my staff is that if you need help, you should ask for help. You have many people in your life who you care about, feeling happy and grateful and content most of the time, feeling confident and good about yourself, feeling calm and relaxed most times, and bouncing back very quickly whenever life throws you a problem, and handling stress, anxiety, and crisis really well. So if you're not in good emotional health, you'll have things like social withdrawal. You may lose interest in certain enjoyable activities. You may feel sad or hopeless. You may feel angry or restless or irritated. You may have a lack of appetite. You may not be sleeping well. And you may feel fatigued quite often. You may find it difficult to do your work or your study, and you might experience mood swings and neglect your own self-care. And if you have suicidal thoughts, and these can be signs of anxiety, depression, and other mental health illnesses. So improve these things. You have to understand your emotions, practice mindfulness, and communicate with others. You need to keep stress at bay by having relaxation activities and ways of relieving your stress. You need to have that good night's sleep and stay active, develop a positive mindset, and reinforce social connections. By strengthening your social connections, you can promote emotional, mental, and physical well-being. You can do this by building positive relationships with family and friends and learning new things, having a hobby, or volunteering for a cause. traveling also to new places is one of those things that help with your emotional wellness. And if you can't afford to go far, do like a staycation or something. And it's really important if you're struggling with mental health, if any of those things are triggering you that, you know, you're not able to get over it, you should reach out for help, speak with your doctor or speak with a counselor, your pastor, someone who can possibly lead you in the right direction. And that leads us quite quickly into spiritual health, which we will also touch on. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Good night, Dr. Archer.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. But you know, I was listening. I was in the shop and I ran inside for a while. You hit the nail on the head with me, and it's something I can't help. You know, this kind of time is a busy year. Right? I mean, like, this kind of time is busy for me. So I'm stressed out, working these long hours, even though I'm self-employed, I'm still paranoid. You know, like, I in and out of the shop, and, you know, policy work is very, very tedious, and it requires thinking and concentration, right? And circadian rhythm is messed up. And like, you know, and my daughter had dengue less than two weeks, right? And so weekend before last, and I couldn't even sleep. And so I was disappointed and upset that the young man died, right? But But the thing is, his mom is, she's saying they only gave him Motrin, right? They didn't give him any drip. But that is a perfect example of why we should equip ourselves with a little bit of knowledge before we go to the doctor. And so with me, I was afraid to go sleep and leave my daughter feeling like that to talk about carrying to the hospital in the morning. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was saying that people have a thermometer inside. You know, I've read a lot. Over the years, I've read because I knew the heart temperature is 102.3 or 4, right? And so what happens is, it's a good thing that she was with me all that day. But she had feeling ill from, like, maybe a little earlier. So I didn't want to dismiss it, but I keep checking the temperature. And she started to get worse. And so I felt the difference. And I knew it was excessive. And it's a good thing I'd carried her. And I said, you know, something just came over me. Like, you know, she's to see her like that. And I said, you know something? If I go sleep tonight and I wake up and go in her room, I feel as if something would have happened. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I
had a form of sense of urgency then to deal with this. And so the doctor told me the exact thing. It's a good thing I bought her. So hats off to them. And so I gave her the children's Tylenol, right? And so I was trying to explain to the public, you know, remember initially, you know, when I first started to call the shows, I was kind of angry that my father had died because he was given Motrin, right? Because he had a heart condition, and Motrin is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. It actually retains fluid. And so Motrin in itself, I wondered if the medical community, mindful of this, even though there might be other natural remedies, it helps. We retain fluid, and it also deals with fever. So the lady didn't seem to know that. Even me, in my ignorance, when I was about 48, I was in a hospital at one time, and I keep, every time the nurse them give me the Motrin, I keep throwing them in the drawer, right? You know, because I get a draft, I don't take. And so the fever wouldn't subside, and it was like, well, your fever, that's, you know, it's borderline, 99, 100, you understand, 100.3. But I know what a high temperature is. Most people, they think they know. But 102.4 is not far from 104 or 103. And so we know that.
I
couldn't go sleep. I couldn't sleep. And so I urge people to show that form of urgency because, you know, as a 17-year-old and he died, that should affect everybody. You understand what I'm saying, Dr. Archer? It is sad. I mean, just for dengue and so. She said that blood was coming out of his mouth. So I'm saying hemorrhagic.
Yeah, sounds so.
So, wow.
It's something else.
As far as the health is concerned, it's hard to really stay healthy in health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's an ongoing process. You know, I had a recent surgery, too. I had a recent surgery on my foot. And so, of course, everybody was saying, you know, people be hoping and praying you get diabetes, but so much people have diabetes.
Oh, wow, no.
The doctors always think you got diabetes. No, I don't have it. You know, I'm saying is that I had an obstacle. I had an infection.
But you're a pretty lean guy, eh?
Yeah. I'm pretty lean, and you know what I mean. But I still get into the grave. But you know, I tell them, like somebody was saying on the show today, they were saying what level someone on. But I was trying to show them in a sense that all of us can end up in the same level, 6'6", in a bottom box. In the cemetery, sooner or later, I mean, not saying, but, you know what I mean? So whatever level you're on, go out of a way of bringing you down to eat. That's all I'm saying.
Well, one of the points that we were talking about tonight is, you know, being able to treat everybody the same. So
yeah, but that's why, like, yeah, you know, and I see that, and that's kind of pretty hard because of the way all society is structured and the social engineering program they have going on now in the world, where you see we are calling people most worshipful masters and honorable, and they don't deserve, some of these people don't deserve these titles. I'm just saying, like, you know, just human construct in a spiritual sense, it's really foolish. But it has its merits. But then you see the neglect of the majority and the mass conformity and psychosis going on in the world, then it's a sad journey where we're headed, really and truly. And the hospital, the long wait for the surgeries, et cetera, it's really, I don't know if it's subliminal, but it's a message being sent to the people. It's like a secret triage. You know,
It's difficult, and the government has a lack of resources, and I've actually kind of put something out there for them to consider. Hopefully, they'll be interested.
Yeah, but Dr. D, people have children. How do they determine the priority?
I think we need to take some of that burden off of them into the public sector, but find ways that it's manageable so people can get that health care reasonably. And so, hopefully they see that bigger picture.
Yeah, but there was a gentleman who got shot and died waiting on the doctor. But I to me, Dr. D, I mean, for a smaller country like ours and the way we're being treated, and compounding these factors, these lack of health care, is really immigration, and which is the whole overall overview of just inefficiencies being compounded by these. If you look at one of the side effects of migration, it is said that the death and the financial burden on the government, and that's what it is. But they're denying this, you know, and in the era of tax and the price of food, Dr. D, bought on food.
In this global world, they've kind of overlooked the impacts of migration and immigration for some reason. I don't know what their full agenda is with that, but we can see it from a nationalist point of view that there are these impacts, especially with illegal immigration, where you can't account for the people that are in
your system. Dr. D, I got a joke for you. You didn't hear, I told Howard Grant, I had mentioned what I'm suffering from, and it's a new disease that the psychiatrist can put in the diagnostic and statistical manual, because that's all they do is make it up. I suffer from post-pandemic stress traumatic disorder. All right?
Okay.
Yeah. You know why? It's so much lies. All the lies are being surfaced. You heard on the news that they... See, I listen, you know, you didn't hear, and people hear things on AP News, and England has some kind of board or committee for people to answer or give accountability during the pandemic, for the pandemic mindless protocols. We don't have that here. We must hold the government accountable, who was in power, for those mindless adherence that was of no benefit. Prices are still high.
We really do.
People can still catch COVID. This is all a mindless. Why can't they be exposed for the scumbags that they are? Following a global order and ignorance and nothing. But what I'm saying is, Dr. D, you see where they have changed the definition of everything.
Yes.
We saw. You know, the phone that I use for the chat, it's a brand new phone, I messed it up again. So, you know, the thing is, I saw where something that recently came up with Dr. Bobby and Saeed, in which the spike protein on the virus is said to have a pattern, okay? And you know, people, you know, Dr. Moby and Saeed is highly respected on the molecular. Come on, Dr.
Well, I would say to E53 that even people who, to me, were kind of oblivious during COVID have opened their eyes to certain things in the last year. And, you know, that's how it's going to be. When you're a year, 2 years, 3 years ahead, you know, you're going to look a little wiser to everybody else.
From the LGBT,
but eventually they catch up.
And also
I've known this all my life because
I've always
been someone to look ahead. But
so I forget the name of the term.
5 seconds to wrap it up.
Yeah, I forget the name of the term when you vaccinate the baby inside the womb. It's embryonic something. But they're after that, no, Dr. D. Help us all. Bless up. Give thanks. Keep up the works.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Yes. So there's a lot still going on, and that's why it's important for us to focus on our health and our well-being. And so spiritual health is a really important part of that. And it involves seeking meaning and purpose in our lives. And like I said, you have to get through those steps to be able to kind of get there. And so I'm really talking about a higher level sense of being at this point in time. But if we all try to chip away at our issues, and we can attain some of this. So it's very impactful way that we support our values and our purpose. It increases our mindfulness and helps us to live in our present time and helps us to stay positive in various situations. A sense of peace within. And there's a lot of studies that have showed that people with a good spiritual wellness usually do better when faced with diseases like cancer and other things. It makes us more compassionate towards ourselves and others and improves our confidence and resilience. And signs of this is living in our present moment, finding meaning or believing in meaning or purpose of life, taking time to reflect on that, and clearly knowing what's right and what's wrong, being able to handle our emotions and not judge others, and spending time in silence and meditation, being able to appreciate our time and rather than feeling alone, so time's alone, finding the beauty in things, being able to explain yourself to other people and express yourself freely. You're grateful for things, you're compassionate to others, you have patience and forgiveness, and you work towards the welfare of the environment. You know your purpose, you express your thoughts, you spend time with nature, and you practice mindfulness, you pray, you meditate, you travel, you know, and you can travel solo without any problems. And this is really what helps you feel connected to your inner self, the people in your life, and you can give meaning and purpose to your life. Of course, environmental was the last one, and that's just about living a healthy environmental life and being able to enjoy the environment whilst not harming the environment. Very important, you know, type of thing to do. But that was our topic on wellness. I didn't quite get to finish on how do we set goals for health. So we'll do that next week. But I want to thank you all for listening in and remembering that wellness is beyond health. There's physical, social, financial, environmental, and intellectual, spiritual, occupational, and emotional components. And we need all of those to achieve our full wellness and to optimize ourselves. So I want to thank you all for listening to our show tonight, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. I'm Dr. Dinotra Archer-Cartwright. I will see you next week, Tuesday at 6:30 on Guardian Radio. Thank you for listening. Good night. Oh, I'm sorry.